Folks, Kyle here. I'm a physical therapist and a fantasy football junkie. I've been doing Dynasty for a year, and I joined the Dynasty Warzone Patreon about 6 months ago, and never have I felt more comfortable with having Memphis, Jerry, and the guys in the Patreon chat help me with buys, sells, and navigating free agency and rookie draft. I can't recommend them enough, and so join the Patreon, because if you ain't first, you're last.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your host, Memphis, at DFF Memphis, and today we've got another great addition for you today. Today my guest is going to be a gentleman named Ryan. Ryan is going into, sounds like, year two of a orphan that he picked up over at Safe Leagues. Now, for those of you that don't know, Safe Leagues is a league hosting platform, for lack of a better term, ran by everybody's good friend, Scott Fish. Yes, that Scott Fish. Scott Fish of the Scott Fish Bowl. And they have not had a league collapse. No, this is not a paid endorsement or advertisement. I just like that if you're new to Dynasty, wanting to dip a toe in Dynasty, man, Safe Leagues with Scott Fish, and even the FFPC, these are platforms that have not ever had a league fold. They're great about picking up orphans, and that's exactly what we're working with tonight with Ryan in his 12-team Superflex PPR, but not tight end premium league. We're going to jump into that with him. We're going to talk about all the good moves that he's made, and he's built a nice little roster for himself. I got to admit, he made this one easy for me. He was one of the few people that I've worked with to date that actually didn't get killed by free agency. We're going to get Ryan in here in just a couple of minutes. I want to run through a couple of other things. My other podcast, The Dynasty Warzone, I know you guys have been checking it out, and I want to say thank you. We can see in the ratings and the downloads that the Dynasty Happy Hour listeners are sliding over, and it is much appreciated by not only me, but my co-host Jerry. What we got going on at the Warzone right now, we're doing two shows a week, at least for now, because we're having some fun, man. It's the NFL dead season. Not a whole lot going on. A little trickling in of some news. I may cover Dalvin Cook here in just a second. But, you know, not a lot going on. So 2 weeks ago, we decided to rank the top 10 NFL offseason moves and how they impacted Dynasty. We talked about things like draft picks, trades, free agent signings, and you know, we went through that, and it was so well received that we're just going to do shows about ranking things NFL related for a while. Now, if you followed me on Twitter or listened to the Warzone, you've known for a while I'm concerned about COVID-19 not costing us the 2020 season. No, I 100% think we will have football come September. My fear with COVID, I picked this up last Wednesday on a different non-fantasy podcast, that, and Adam Schefter tweeted this, that the NFL salary cap in 2021 could be cut anywhere from $30 to $80 million next year. Now, that's a ton of scratch. Now, I break all that down, and then we ranked the 10 players most likely to be impacted by a reduced salary cap in 2021. I like to refer to it as the upper middle class of the NFL players. You know, the guys, think about the guys in that, not quite Michael Thomas, Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott tier, but not down in the dregs either. I'm talking about the guys making 10, 11, 12 million bucks a year. Brandon Cooks comes to mind. You know, think about those guys and think about how they could be impacted if the NFL has to roll back the salary cap, especially by as much as $80 million. So we ranked 10 of those guys on this coming Wednesday show. So as you're listening to this, if you're listening to this on the day it drops, it'll be this coming Wednesday, we're going to rank the top 10 potential free agents in 2021. It is a loaded to the gills class in 2021. I mean, some big names. We rattled them off the other day, and you could easily fill three very good fantasy slash dynasty rosters with the guys that are going to be free agents in 2021. And then on Fridays, we're doing our three-team parlay series. That's where we rank, we go through and we review, actually not rank, but review three teams from last year, but we don't do it by division or anything like that. We do it by taking a team from the top 11 teams in scoring points per game, the middle 10, and the bottom 11. And then we take those three teams and we go with a good scoring offense, a medium scoring offense, and a bad scoring offense. And we talk about who's new, who's gone, stock up, stock down, coaching staff changes, and what we think their long-term dynasty outlook is. I want to thank you guys for the five-star reviews. I would appreciate if you would hit both shows with a five-star review. You can go into whatever podcast queue player you use, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, whatever, Spotify. If you're not driving a car, operating heavy machinery, or doing anything dangerous, please hit pause for just a second. Go into that queue, find the rating function, leave it a five-star, whether it's here for the Dynasty Happy Hour feed or for the Dynasty Warzone feed. It really helps both channels grow. We want to get into, I think we want to get to an arms race where the DHH and the DWZ are in, you know, neck and neck for the most ranked and reviewed show in Dynasty. That's how you help us. All this free content, that goes a long way toward helping us. And then Scott Fishbowl. I know a lot of you listening are probably familiar with it. If you're not, just go online and search scottfishbowl.com. It is the largest tournament, at least that I know of, in fantasy football, and it raises a ton of money for charity. Now, historically, the money raised for charity goes to help Toys for Tots, and Scott and a lot of his buddies around the country, they have bought toys. All proceeds go to these kids, man. I saw the pictures from 2019, 2018, etc., where guys like Scott Fish, the organizer of this thing, Sal Lito, John Bosch, so many people around the country are out using the money raised from this mega fantasy football tournament to help kids, help underserved, man. And if you're going to help someone, help kids. But, you know, Scott's put a new spin on this thing this year. That, you know, if you're going to donate, hey, you can donate to Fantasy Cares, but you can also donate to what you're passionate about. So if you've never, you know, knew all the ins and outs of the Scott Fishbowl, Scott hosts a podcast with Ryan McDowell. It's called The Commission Impossible. And I find it on iTunes. I'm an iTunes user. I'm sure you can find it on Spotify and Stitcher and all the other platforms. But go listen to the one from, I think it was Friday the 5th, Saturday the 6th, somewhere around there. Just search Commission Impossible. You'll find it with Scott and with Ryan. And they do a great job of breaking down the Scott Fishbowl, what it is, you know, best practices, if it's something that you're looking to do in the future. It's a lot of fun, and it does a lot of good to help a lot of people. So that's what's kind of going on, not only in my world, but in the fantasy world in general. And I told you I'd give you a nugget on Dalvin Cook. Here's your nugget on Dalvin Cook. Don't do anything unless you're buying him cheap. If you currently own a share of Dalvin Cook, hit you with the hot facts. It's June. Not even like late June. It's like early June. I don't think he's going to hold out. I really don't. I think it's a lot of posturing. I don't know if it applies to rookies. I've been challenged. I have not had a full look at the CBA. But I'm pretty sure that any dollar a player is fined during a holdout cannot be refunded anymore. And they can fine a player up to $40,000 per day missed of camp. And when you're making $2 million, a lot of money to us working class folk, but to even a guy making $2 million, 40 grand a day, it doesn't take long before three missed practices cost you a game check. So it sounds like a lot of posturing in early June when you've got the rest of June and almost all of July to try to work out some kind of an extension with Minnesota. We'll see how that shakes out, but don't give away your Alexander Mattison cheap. I think he's going to be fine anyway, but just hold. Hold or buy. Go out there and kick tires on cheap Dalvin Cook shares. That's always a great idea, but moving a guy who's a we'll say like the 108 to 204 in a startup, moving that guy cheap based on some weird holdout news is a horrible, horrible mistake. You're better off holding and waiting than you are selling. But take advantage where you can. So, all right, there's the news, there's the filibustering, there's the stuff that's going on with me in the Dynasty world. Let's go get Ryan, and let's talk about his team. All right, we're going to welcome to the show Ryan. Ryan tonight is going to share with us his Safe Leagues 12-team Superflex PPR non-tight end premium team. Hey, no league is perfect, but he's going to make a perfect guest. Ryan, welcome to the Contractor, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thank you for taking the time to answer my questionnaire and respond to my tweet. I don't know, it was about maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, you reached out and you wanted to have me take a look at this thing. So tell me about this team. You said you joined it through League Safe as an orphan. So how did this thing come into your possession?
Well, yeah. Scott Fish had he posted quite a few orphan teams, and I was looking through them. I picked this one out. It was last year before the rookie draft, and it was felt kind of rough because Kareem Hunt was on a 10-game suspension. Tyreek Hill was in a lot of trouble at that time, but it's been a pretty fun active league. I made a lot of trades, and I feel a lot better about it today than I did 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I will say, first of all, big shout out to Scott Fish. Huge fan, not so much of just him as a fantasy player or a commissioner or a podcast host, but just really the dude. Scott Fish, the dude, is an amazing guy. And, you know, I like the fact that this is a safe league. They've never had a league fold. You know, guys like yourself will pick these things up, and you've done a very nice job of both drafting and trading your way into this team. We're going to get into the actual roster in just a second. You said the league chat is pretty active. I think that's great. Tell me about the league chat.
Yeah, it's on GroupMe. It is pretty active. Quite a few pretty funny guys, you know, just funny, you know, trash talking, but nothing too crazy. But yeah, it's good. It's a fun league. I feel like I picked a good one, you know, which was just lucky that I had happened into one with good owners, you know.
Oh, do I ever. I'm in the world famous goat leagues with JD, who runs those goat leagues, and we have never had one day without conversation in this chat. We're going on 3 full years together as a group. We've added some members here or there, we've removed some here or there, but sometimes it's just the right mix of people. From talking before we hit the record button, This league is very typical of most leagues, and even half of my leagues are like this. Really super busy in the group chat around the rookie draft, right as the season's getting started, and then right around the trade deadline. Does that sound accurate to you?
Yep, that's definitely accurate.
All right, because that does not surprise me. It just some people are super degenerates. That's us in the Goat League. That's us in the Dynasty Warzone Patreon. I had 112 messages in 4 hours in our Patreon group chat the other day. It's the only chat that has ever even come close and has maybe surpassed the Goat League chat. So a good chat is a blessing. You've been playing for you got 5 years of experience, and you think this roster is somewhere between winning now and maybe a piece or two away.
Yeah, I wasn't, when I first got a hold of you to get on here, it was before the draft, and I was feeling like I was maybe a year away, but I like how the draft went for me, and made one pretty good size trade since then, and now I'm kind of feeling like maybe I have a team ready to push, you know. It's not perfect, but it's not bad, you know.
Well, but before we get into the roster, because that's going to be our next step, I want to hear about this trade, man. Everybody loves a good dynasty trade, especially big ones. Fire away. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, well, so I was at the time, I had a lot of receivers. I was really shopping Amari Cooper to try and get a running back because I was pretty weak at running back other than Taylor, you know, Taylor was my best guy, who I just drafted, obviously, and Hunt was probably my RB2, I suppose. But I was trying to shop Amari. Nobody wanted Amari. The guy who owned Marlon Mack offered me Marlon Mack, and I wasn't really interested in handcuffing Taylor if I didn't think I was going to compete this year, because Mack's probably going to be gone next year. And I told him that, so I told him I was going to try and find a running back. Well, then he came at me with he offered me Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Marlon Mack, and Michael Thomas for Jameis Winston, AJ Brown, and Tyreek Hill. And I just, you know, Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers weren't particularly players I was after, but it seemed like a pretty sweet deal, and I had to take it.
Well, I don't have a pen to write this down, because I'm obviously doing the production side of this too. But basically, from what I'm hearing, let's say Mike Thomas is a little bit ahead of Tyreek Hill. I don't think anyone would dispute that in a dynasty league. So basically, for Jameis Winston and A.J. Brown, you got Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and what else?
Marlon Mack.
And Marlon Mack. And so now let's jump into this roster. We'll get into the running backs in just a second. But your quarterback situation for a super flex, you've done quite well for yourself, especially for an orphan that you took over from a group site like a Safe Leagues. I know the FFPC does something very similar as well. But, man, this is great. You got Josh Allen. He's easily going inside the top 10 at most ADP sites like DLF or Fantasy Pros or whatever. You got Aaron Rodgers. I think at this point in his career, he's much more of a QB2 that can give you QB1 games than he is the Aaron Rodgers of, say, 2015 or 2016. Then you've got Tua and Fitzmagic both, so no matter who's the starter in Miami this year, you've got a third. And then you got Gardner Minshew. Now, how many of these guys did you inherit? I'm assuming you inherited the other three not named Aaron Rodgers.
No, actually, Fitzpatrick was the only one I drafted Tua. I got Minshew off of waivers, and I made a trade right when I got the team for Josh Allen. I don't recall. It was something. It was David Johnson for Josh Allen and maybe Marquise Brown, maybe the pick I took Marquise Brown with. I can't remember exactly, but that was before David Johnson really, really fell off. So that one worked out pretty well for me.
How are you feeling about that today?
Well, I'm feeling pretty good about today.
I bet
at
you
the
are.
Time, it wasn't as much of a slam dunk as it looks like now, but hey,
sure,
I'll take it.
Yeah. So the quarterback in question I want to talk about here is Gardner. I posted a tweet on Tuesday morning talking about how I'm moving Gardner, and I got a lot of flack, but I think Gardner Minshew is a one-year asset, and I'm going to give you some reasons why, and I'll see what you think. You know, he came in last year when Nick Foles got hurt in week one, but here's the thing. The minute Nick Foles came back in week 11, they went with Nick Foles for the next three games before they finally shut Foles down for the season and gave the last handful of games to Gardner Minshew. Now, I like QBR. I know some dynasty and fantasy analysts do not, but QBR is the preferred QB evaluation tool of Vegas, and Vegas is willing, more than willing, to put their money where their mouth is as it relates to this thing. So if it's good enough for Vegas, I don't mind using it. And over his first five games, he had a QBR of 54.2, which is right around average. Hey, not bad for a six-round rookie. Not too shabby. Well, the part that concerns me the most is that over the last five games, his QBR went down to 35.1. And that tells me that as defensive coordinators got more tape on this guy, the more they were able to pick up his tendencies and really expose him as a six-round rookie. I know people love the swag, they love the mustache, they love the cool clothes, but I just see a team that intentionally kept a lame duck head coach, because I got a lot of pushback when I posted this. They were like, well, last year Miami was allegedly tanking for Tua. Apples and pomegranates, my friend. Miami had a young, upstart, badass head coach in Brian Flores. The Jaguars have a lame duck last year of his deal, Doug Marrone, before he gets the hook. And I believe the GM's last name is Caldwell. I think he's gone too. And when they're gone and the new GM and the new head coach come in 2021, on top of having a top probably four pick I think Gardner goes right with him. Now, he'll go to where most sixth-round rookies go. He'll go to the bench as he'll be one of the best backups in the NFL. So he's the number one asset that I would be looking to trade out of this QB room, especially in a super flex. You got him for nothing, man. I think it's time to cash out before he turns back into a pumpkin.
Yeah, I definitely with you there. I mean, him being my fourth slash fifth QB, I suppose you count the Dolphins quarterbacks as one, he'd be my fourth. You know, I'm definitely willing to move him. And it's super flex, so I feel like I can get a decent amount for him, especially right now.
Sure. I think every game people see him play. I mean, remember, he plays in a division where Indy finished 7-9 last year. Clearly, they upgraded. They brought in Taylor, and they brought in a veteran in Phillip Rivers. They traded for DeForest Buckner. I mean, this is going to be an improved team in Indy. So they were 7-9, and both Houston and Tennessee made the playoffs. This team's going to get beaten up pretty good just playing within their own division before they ever play any games. So I would be looking to get out. Gardner Minshew feels like, to me, what Damian Williams was this time last year at the running back position. A guy that a lot of owners, much like yourself, got off waivers. He was dirt cheap. And now we just can't let go because we got him for nothing and we want to see how high this stock can climb. Sometimes you just got to cash out, take a profit. If you miss out on a little bit more, it's okay. I used to go to Vegas a lot. I used to go to the casinos here in Indiana a lot. And when you get on a hot streak and everything, I used to have this old guy tell me, hey, don't be afraid to take some with you. You can't win the table. They've got plenty of money. You're never going to break them. And you know what? You can't win the table as it relates to Gardner. Go ahead and cash out and look to improve your biggest need. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, for sure, no doubt. I've actually shopped them around a little bit, not a ton, but just a little. I haven't had any luck yet, but you know,
no, it's early. It's early. I think you're gonna win. I think that Gardner potential buyers are people who are waiting until they see where Cam Newton winds up, and they may even be waiting to see where Colin Kaepernick winds up. It feels like, from listening to the non-dynasty media, that there might be a shot for him to wind up somewhere. So maybe people are being a little cautious on Gardner, not fully sure that they're going to commit to him as the starter. I mean, he did fade Jameis Winston. He did fade Andy Dalton, who had ties to the new OC there in Gruden. So, you know, so far he's had some positives, but for me, he's the kind of guy that I would like to use to address, in my opinion, what's your biggest need, which is tight end. We'll get back to everybody's favorite positions here in a minute, running back and wide receiver. But at tight end, you actually have both Jacksonville's tight ends. You have Josh Oliver and Tyler Eifert, who they brought over in free agency. For some reason, Tyler Eifert and Jimmy Graham keep stealing money in this league. You got a young guy that I am pretty high on, even though there's a good veteran in front of him and Darren Waller, and that's Foster Moreau. I do like the fact that you have the full stack of Vikings tight ends, because if it starts off that Rudolph's the guy and Irv gets worked in, you know, a little bit later in the season, you have both. And then one of my favorite, absolute favorite young sneaky stashes going into year two, Texans tight end Cahale Warring. Former water polo player, if I remember correctly, but I think we see some potential and some upside with guys like Oliver, Warring, especially Irv Smith. I love Irv Smith, but going into a season on a roster that, when we cover the whole thing, I do think is a piece or two away or could even chase a championship this year, I think we got to address this tight end position.
Yep, I definitely agree with you there.
So we talked earlier before we hit the record button, little spoiler alert, little peek behind the curtain of what we do here at The Contractor. Me and the guest, in this case, Ryan, we have about a 15-20 minute conversation, just getting to know each other a little bit and, you know, about some moves and everything. And we were looking, you know, at the Dynasty Trade Calculator and kicking some names around. Now, the first name that would be perfect for this, being a super flex and a non-tight end premium, was Mark Andrews, because they're about dead even per the DTC. But what was the situation with the Mark Andrews quarterback room?
He has Darnold, Mayfield, and Kyler Murray. So not what you would call QB needy, I suppose.
I can't think of too many dynasty owners that would be in a hurry to run Gardner out in front of any of those three guys. So that's the way it works, guys. For those of you that are listening and enjoying this podcast today, first of all, thank you for tuning in. But that's the way it works. Every time that you've got a piece to move, like a quarterback in this case with Gardner, and you go look at someone who has the piece that you want to get, like a Mark Andrews, of course, they're also equally strong in that position. Bad luck, but we did look at the Zach Ertz owner, because you've already tried to get Kittle. No luck there. I think given their ages and the fact that Travis Kelce, I think, is 31, going to be 32 or somewhere in that neighborhood. And Zach Ertz, everybody thinks Zach Ertz is 107 years old. He's actually not. He's 29 as we speak today. And we're talking about maybe acquiring Zach Ertz because that owner only had Big Ben and Jared Goff, if I remember correctly.
Right. Brissett and Hoyer, but I mean, they're not obviously not starters. So
I'm going to repeat my previous statement. He's really got just Big Ben and Jared.
Yes, correct.
But you also said he had Austin Hooper and, if I remember correctly, one other, you know, I don't want to say upstart, but like another potential.
Yeah, Gerald Everett.
Thank you.
He also has Asiasi from New England.
On a side note, who I do like, if he's floating around, if you're in a shallower league and you see Asiasi from New England on the waiver wire out there, don't be afraid to put him on the back end of your team. So you and I were talking, and I think a trade that's worth doing. Now, your rookie picks, you have your 2021 first, second, and fourth. You moved your third in another deal. I think when we get done recording this, I think the first move that I would do personally is I would offer Gardner and that fourth for Ertz and a second, and see where that goes. If you end up having to do Ertz for Gardner straight up, I'm done. I'm in. Let's go. Wheels up. I don't have Ertz in my top three anymore in a dynasty league for like a ranking standpoint. He's actually fourth. He's actually slid a spot, and Andrews has jumped him by one position, but he's still a guy in an offense in 2020 with a roster like this where I think you can definitely chase a championship. That would be a move I'd be willing to look at. What do you think about my little theory of a trade there?
Oh yeah, I would. I absolutely would make that deal, and I definitely will send that offer.
And how I would send that offer, and if you get any kind of a conversation back, is it's as simple as being honest without being honest. If that makes any sense, you married guys know what I'm talking about. It's that you're telling them, hey, listen. You have a need at quarterback. I want a veteran tight end. You've also got Austin Hooper. You know, Gardner's a young guy. Ben's old. You know, nothing you've said's untrue, but you're not giving them every fact of the fact that we think Gardner may be a one-year rental. I actually think Big Ben's going to have 2 years left in the league, given his dead cap number. If they were to cut him this year, it would cost him $40 million against the cap, and next year it's like $41 million. So needless to say, Big Ben's going to be there for 2 years. I don't feel as confident about Gardner, but hey, they don't need to know that. And if you only get a year or two out of Zach Ertz, it's okay, man, because you're chasing a championship. And if they were to bite and give you Ertz and a second, man, that feels like stealing.
No doubt. Yeah, the pick, like you said, I think I would trade Minshew straight up anyway, but if I could get that pick swap in there, that's certainly cherry on top.
You know, that's where you use the truth in an interesting fashion. Hey, man, I'm taking the 29-year-old asset at tight end. We know Dallas Goedert's right behind him, you know, going to be pushing him any day, and you're getting the young guy going into year two. None of that's untrue. We would never lie, but we can steer a little bit to get them over to our way of thinking. You with me?
Oh yeah.
So I think those are the two things. But if you can't figure out a good trade to get out of the Gardner business, I don't think you have to move right away. That's just a move that you could make today, just to go ahead and shore it up. But there's no games this weekend, so you don't have to hurry. A lot of mobile quarterbacks in this league, including, you know, Lamar Jackson. You've got one of them yourself, Josh Allen. We know that Carson Wentz, although I love him, he's had some injury bad luck in his career. So Gardner may wind up being something that you can move at another point. So we're not in the business of giving him away, but if we get the right deal, especially one that shores up your biggest deficiency, that's all about it. Now, let's get into an area that I'm really fascinated with. Let's get into your wide, we'll go running back. Let's go to your running back room. You've got, you got Eno Benjamin, who's like an injury away from being an injury away. You know, they've got Kenyon Drake there, but Kenyon Drake's on a one-year deal. They've got Chase Edmonds. And speaking of guys who've had a little, some injury issues, not like a chronic injury guy, but, you know, he definitely missed a lot of time last year in flashes. And then you got Eno. And Eno, that's an offense that's obviously ascending, at least we think it is. So that's not the horrible back-end roster guy to have. You've got Giovanni Bernard. We'll talk about him in a minute. Tevin Coleman, another guy I'm fascinated with. You actually have the A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones stack. Now, one thing I found interesting is that on May 28th, CBS Sports put out a story about the Packers and Aaron Jones are in contract negotiations. Now, I think a lot of Dynasty owners are thinking that, hey, A.J. Dillon will have a little use this year. 2021, Aaron Jones is gone, and A.J. Dillon takes over. I don't think so. I think Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, I think he could really see this. Now, when LaFleur was in Tennessee, that's when they had at least a somewhat productive Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry. And I don't know that he's not seeing this as much the same. And if you think back to when Deion Lewis was, quote-unquote, somewhat productive, it wasn't Derrick Henry's brightest moments. Aaron Jones had a great season last year. Obviously going to be some touchdown regression, but that's a great guy to start with. Darrington Evans, speaking of Tennessee, I love this guy. Now, we talked about Tennessee earlier, made it to the AFC Championship game last year. This is a guy that I love. I don't think this team is ahead as much as it was last year, and I don't think they'll just be pounding the ball down people's throats with Derrick Henry. I think this guy's going to be involved in the passing game, and I am absolutely fascinated with Darrington Evans. Kareem Hunt, this is one of our double trouble running back fields over at the Dynasty Warzone. And then you have another one. You have Marlon Mack and JT, and for some reason you have Jordan Wilkins. Seems like a nice guy, but he's got to go, man. Tell me about this running back room. I don't see one guy that I'm like, I'll cut that guy, except Jordan Wilkins because he's Jordan Wilkins. But, you know, go ahead.
Right. Well, I will have to cut four before the season starts, so he probably will be one of them. But yeah, no, it you know, before I made the trade where I got Jones and Mack and you know, drafted Taylor in this year draft, it wasn't looking so good. You know, that's how I ended up with the pick to get Taylor, because I had a pretty rough year last year. But yeah, definitely improved. And like, yeah, I really like Darrington Evans as well. Same with you know, AJ Dillon. You know, I wasn't super high on him, but it was late. You know, I think I got him at 211, so it was kind of that range where I was fine taking him. But it's nice to, I obviously, you could tell I like handcuffs, and it, especially in deep rosters where I have the room to have them. You know, so no, I don't feel too bad about it.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, plus, you know, I know you're a Colts fan, so maybe you have insight to this. But you know, Mack will probably be gone next year. I mean, who's, you know, he could actually have a future after he gets cut from Indy too. You know, maybe not a bell cow or anything, but you know, he may still have some long-term value because he's not that old either. So even though I was getting him to kind of handcuff Taylor, I still kind of somewhat hopeful for next year and beyond.
Well, I'm going to go right into your depth. First of all, for 2020 and 2021, I don't think that you can have enough depth at the running back position. Now, think about it, you know, with a modified camp, and, you know, we're trusting our dynasty roster players to be doing the right thing right now. We're counting on them to be doing their stretching. There's been no mini camp. There's been no OTAs. There's been no voluntary. There's been nothing. There's been a bunch of dudes on Zoom and a bunch of guys in a garage with rubber bands doing their work, and we're praying that these guys are doing it. But a lot of times when these camps get modified like this, and these guys are pro athletes, they're finely tuned machines, and when they're out of their rhythm and they're out of their cadence, what do we see every year? What's always the big fear when a guy holds out? You know what I'm talking about?
Injuries?
100%, especially soft tissue injuries, like a hamstring, like a quad, a groin. And to have this much depth is great. You know, the one piece that you have that I may trade away from this running back room would be GOB, Giovanni Bernard. I would go out and see how nervous the Joe Mixon owner is. And if you can get someone at this point in his career to give you a 2021 second, and a little side note before I get back into Gio, the 2020 rookie class was very good. From all that I'm seeing from my Debbie friends out there, like Bill Latton, like Nick Whalen, like Kane Fasel, like Ray Garvin, you know, this 2021 class is going to be equally stacked, particularly at running back and wide receiver. Oh, and don't forget three really good quarterbacks. So if you could get someone to give you a 2021 second for Giovanni Bernard, I love it. I would go out and say, hey, man, you, because then it takes away a guy that you may have to potentially cut anyway and gives you a piece of future draft capital. Next guy, Tevin Coleman. I think what he would give you in like a trade value, I would rather have Tevin Coleman. A lot of people don't know this, but San Francisco was second in the league last year in total rushing yards. They had 2,305, if I remember correctly, and they were able somehow to cheaply acquire Trent Williams from the Washington Redskins to replace Joe Staley. That means Mike McGlinchey stays at his natural tackle position. They don't have to do a whole lot of shuffling along the offensive line. The offensive line may have even got an upgrade. Let's say Tevin Coleman's healthy enough and acquires 40% of that 2,300 yards. Dude, that's almost a 1,000-yard rusher. We'll take that all day for depth. A.J. Dillon and Jones, I like that. I already mentioned my love for Darrington Evans. Kareem Hunt, I think he's going to be a middle-of-the-road RB2. Kevin Stefanski wants to pound the ball, to the point of bringing in a fullback. Last year, Kevin Stefanski ran more two tight end, two wide receiver sets than any other offensive coordinator in the league. And then last but not least, man, I'll jump into Marlon Mack and JT. I think you're going to see JT play the role of fellow Wisconsin Badger in Melvin Gordon, and you're going to see Marlon Mack play the role of Austin Eckler in what will be a somewhat San Diego / LA Charger based offense. The Colts offensive coordinator has ties to the Chargers, as does head coach Frank Reich. I think you're going to see a lot of that, man. And I think at times early in the season, maybe the month of September, you may not be able to use JT a bunch until you kind of see what's going on. But man, I love the depth. It's not super sexy. It's not going to be, you know, confused with the greatest running back room in the history of Dynasty, but I think you've done a good job assembling a group here that week in and week out, playing the right matchups, putting your team in a position to win. I think you can do some good things, man.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't mind it. You know, it was one of my concerns coming into the league, but yeah.
But you got the young guy. So when I build my Dynasty rosters, me personally, I like to have that one stud. I'm going to build around this dude running back. And you have that, man. You have Jonathan Taylor. But you have plenty of solid veterans can put points in your lineup until he gets going. You know, he's a rookie in a COVID-19 offseason. It's going to be super weird. He still has an established veteran who's entrenched there. If you want to know all my feelings on the Colts running back field a couple of weeks ago, we broke down the Colts as well as a couple of other teams on our Friday show on the Dynasty Warzone feed called the Three-Team Parlay. We did the Colts, and I don't remember the other two teams top of my head, but we did that. I think it was either last Friday or the Friday before. So check that out if you want our full Indianapolis Colts breakdown. But, dude, you got the young stud, man. You got the guy that's going to be your feature piece. A lot of these other guys will rotate in and out of your lineup. You know, the Tevin Colemans, and, you know, you're hoping to hit on Evans. I think Hunt's going to give you a solid piece. He'll be a free agent next year. And if you own Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb, if either one of those two guys goes down, you do know you got like a nuclear warhead on your roster.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So, I mean, this is a former rushing champion. I think you're completely solid there. All right, let's wrap this thing up, man. Let's go to this wide receiver room. I'll just read them off real quick. When I first read these off, because the link you sent me had them in alphabetical order, and I was like, oh no. But you got Hollywood Brown. Now, he's a guy that I, in a head-to-head format league, I would want to have as basically my wide receiver three. You know, he may give me 3 points. He may give me 44 points. You got Randall Cobb. You know, I mean, much like Tyler Eifert and Jimmy Graham, this guy continues to steal money. But when you're working with an idiot like Bill O'Brien, not hard to do. Amari Cooper, he's the deluxe version of a boom-bust high-end wide receiver. DeSean Jackson, still kind of interested. A rookie that I really like, T. Higgins. T. Higgins and Joe Burrow had been working together all offseason before the draft, prior to all the COVID stuff at Jordan Palmer's QB camp or whatever out west. And I like the fact that they had a connection before they became teammates. I think that was pretty cool. Devontae Parker, heard an interesting stat on him the other day, that from week 4 through 17, he was the wide receiver 2 overall, and I believe it was half-point PPR. I heard this via the fantasy footballers, but I was like, oh my goodness. Then the crown jewel. The crown jewel of this team, because again, we're going alphabetical order, was Michael Thomas. So, I mean, you got a solid lock. Wide receiver 1, Michael Thomas. You have a guy that I feel comfortable as a 2 in Amari Cooper. He's a 2 that's going to win you weeks. Then you play Devontae Parker as your wide receiver 3, again, that can give you wide receiver 1 games. And then rotate in Hollywood Brown. Man, you got depth. You got it all. You do have 3 other guys. I want to talk about them, but in a different way. Trey Quinn, Willie Snead, Albert Wilson. But, man, you've done some good work here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Mike Williams as well.
Yeah, I mentioned him as your go-to stud. I mean, he's got such a common name with such an uncommon with an uncommon game. The guy is an absolute stud. But
yeah, I'm not sure what to think of him. You know, this year with the quarterback at, you know, if Herbert or Tyrod plays, but yeah.
So you'll be good there. Let's talk about these other 3 guys. I forgot Mike Williams. I didn't write him down. I'm a bum. I'm an absolute bum. He's a guy that if I got any kind of real traction out of early, he'd be a guy I'd be looking to move. You know, you don't need him.
I'm with you there.
You don't need him. I mean, with already having Michael Thomas, Devontae Parker, Amari Cooper, and Hollywood Brown, how often are you going to be in a position where you have to start Mike Williams?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if he's not putting points on your roster, he's not helping your roster. So he'd be the kind of guy that I know a lot of people, I know the Dynasty Nerds contingent continues to talk him up. I would just, you know, start you know, getting feelers. The problem with guys like Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Chargers in general is that there's so much trepidation around that entire offense right now with not sure what it's going to look like with them. I really don't have a whole lot of moves with the exception of trying to move Mike Williams. Although I do want to use your roster, if you don't mind, to give an overall bit of advice to the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you're holding on to 3 guys that right now, let me ask you this. Are waivers running in the Safe Leagues format?
They actually just started today.
Beautiful. So here's the thing. Here's what I would be looking to do if I owned Trey Quinn, Willie Snead, and Albert Wilson. Albert Wilson and Willie Snead are never going to be worth more than they are right now, which is nothing. So nothing plus nothing is nothing. Cut those dudes. Trey Quinn, I think he's been replaced by Steven Sims. He's worth nothing. So I'm going to give you a list of guys. You can go back and write these down. But go look and see if any of these guys happen to be on the waiver wire. In some of my drafts, they didn't get drafted. I've actually picked up a lot of these guys. But I'm going to hit you with a 6-pack of young guys who just got drafted that you can put on your taxi and see where they go. Donovan Peoples-Jones, he signed with the Browns. Gabriel Davis to the Buffalo Bills. I like him. Almost all the wide receivers in Buffalo, with the exception of Stephon Diggs, are shorter than, I guess they're all 6'1 or shorter. Even Stephon Diggs, I think, is 6'1. This Gabriel Davis kid is 6'3. So he's got a skill set that's different than what else is on the team. Very similar situation with Isaiah Coulter in Houston. Will Fuller's not the tallest guy. Neither is Brandon Cooks. Neither is Kenny Stills. Oh, and by the way, the Houston Texans have no draft picks next year because they basically traded them all away to get Laremy Tunsil. And Brandon Cooks can be cut for $0, and that would save them $12 million. They've got to re-sign Deshaun Watson. And Fuller and Stills are free agents as well. So Isaiah Coulter could be something as soon as next year. Jeff Thomas, everything I've read on him is positive. He's a rookie in New England. He had some of that knucklehead factor about him. I don't want to compare him to Tyreek Hill and anything other than he had some character issues, which maybe pushed down his draft stock. You know, sometimes you get a Tyreek Hill, and there was that kid from Cleveland a few years ago that was a bit of a knucklehead, but he never panned out. And then the last two, Quez Watkins and John Hightower in Philly. Now, Philly last year had guys that I think that worked by the hour. I think they clocked in, they clocked out. They got some per diem to get home. And these are a couple of guys, man. I don't think Alshon's going to be around forever, and neither is Deshaun Jackson. So what do you think about getting rid of some of these middling, I guess we'll call them scrubby type guys like Snead, Quinn, and Wilson, and just trying to put some of these lottery tickets on your roster?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely down for that. It took quite a while for waivers to open in these leagues after the draft. So like I said, they just opened today. But yeah, those guys are just kind of roster fillers, really, you know.
Yeah, I guess
they're never gonna make my lineup, most likely.
Sure, and if I'm gonna wish on, I guess, you know, what's that Disney song, When You Wish Upon a Star? If I'm gonna wish upon a star, I'm not gonna do it on a guy that I've got multiple year sample size on. I just don't see Willie Snead ever being more than what he was last year. So I would much rather take a gamble on a Gabriel Davis or an Isaiah Coulter or a Jeff Thomas, because if that guy hits, you got him for nothing. You can then cash him out for a draft pick next year and then draft somebody that you really want. But that's the best way to turn those roster cloggers into something of value and merit.
Yeah, most definitely.
So, man, I do think you have a contender here, especially in that quarterback room. You know, Josh Allen is going to win you weeks. I mean, he's more than capable with his legs in the rushing production. But you've also got Aaron Rodgers there to be your steady Eddie. And I think on those games where Rodgers maybe plays the Vikings, or, you know, they play the 49ers, he got crushed last year by the 49ers. I think that the fact that you have Tua and Fitzmagic, and for now Gardner, is going to give you some flexibility to kind of avoid him in some of those rougher spots. So, obviously, I've already mentioned I like the depth of your running back room and your wide receiver room, and I think the biggest mission of Team Ryan here, man, is to work on getting a solid tight end, and I think you're in business in 2020.
Yeah, that sounds good. I was kind of thinking that. I feel like I needed a little reassurance on that, I guess.
The other thing I would take for Gardner is if you can't get anything done, is if you can get any first for him, that would be great. Again, sure. You've got to cut four guys anyway. And, right. You know, same thing we mentioned with Giovanni Bernard, man, go ahead right now. You're never going to get a cheaper time to get rookie draft capital than you are right now. You know,
yes, no doubt.
People aren't thinking about 2020. They're thinking about their rosters. They're thinking about trades. Now they're almost in that mindset of, hey, I've got to win. So those would be some of the moves I would make, man. But I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy week to jump on the phone here with me tonight and talk about your roster.
Well, I really appreciate you having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, if there's nothing else, man, I'm going to let you go. Please keep me posted now. Again, a little peek behind the curtain here at the Dynasty Contractor. It's not like, hey, man, thanks for helping me fill out a podcast for 45 minutes or an hour. It's, hey, man, keep me posted. Keep me posted what's going on behind the scenes. Hey, I managed to get these three guys off of waivers. Hey, man, I moved Gardner for this. I absolutely love it. Now, right now, I've got about 2 weeks left in my really busy season at work. I still managed to get to every DM. I still managed to get to every email, maybe not as fast as I used to, but I manage on lunch or on a break. I manage to respond and do stuff, and I'm really excited to see what you can do with this roster. I don't think you need to do a bunch, but I think the moves that you can make and with the pieces you've acquired, you've done some good stuff, and I cannot emphasize this enough. I love that if you're not best friends with the group of guys and ladies that you're in a dynasty league with, Man, Safe Leagues is a great way to go about it. And I'm not like a paid endorser of Safe Leagues, but I'll even reference the FFPC again. You're investing time, and time is money. And more importantly, money is money. And when you invest all this into this team and you build this nice roster like Ryan has here, the last thing you want is for some owner just to get, you know, in a bad mood, decide to quit in 2021, and then the next guy, and it becomes a domino effect. I think we've maybe all been in a dynasty league like that. And then all the hard work and money you've invested would maybe you're contending this year or a year away next, you know, a year away in next year, and then have the league, you know, dissolve. So I think you've made some great decisions on where you're playing. I think you've made some great trades for your roster. Man, I'm giving you all the kudos in the world. With the social distance of both the podcast and what's going on in the world, I'm going to throw you an air fist bump.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I definitely feel what you're saying too about, you know, I'm the commissioner in most of the leagues I'm in, and I just didn't want to run any more leagues, and that's how I started getting on Safe Leagues, because it's so painless. You know, you got Scott Fish running your league, you don't have any drama, good group of guys, it's pretty nice.
You know that a good friend of mine, Izzy Alkafast from the Dynasty Trade Calculator, again, I always sound like I'm a paid endorsement of everybody. I'm not. I pay for my Dynasty Trade Calculator just like everybody else pays for theirs. But he and I were talking, and he was like, I would much rather at this point take over an ugly orphan in like a Safe League or just in general and see what I can do with it over the long haul as opposed to maybe just doing a startup. So I think going forward, if I join, you know, you leave a league, you join a league, I think I'm going to go like one orphan and one startup a year. I think that's going to be my new thing.
Yeah, you know, that's, I'd heard some, I listened to a lot of podcasts. I'd heard somebody talking about how you gotta do an orphan. It's a lot of fun. And I had only done, you know, startups, and that's how I ended up coming across this team. And it's been a lot of fun because the leagues I commish have a lot of the same people in it, my friends, you know. So this was the first dynasty league I really was in where I didn't know anybody, and it's been a blast. I can't lie.
Well, you definitely got lucky. Yeah, I'm in two orphan situations, I guess, because of friends. Similar, Kyle from the new Fantasy Football Smackdown, formerly the Fantasy Football Fellas, and then my co-host on the Warzone, Jerry, he roped me into one, and I really find that I pay a lot more attention to them. They need a lot more work than your regular roster, man, but you've done a great job. I thank you for coming on, and remember, here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, the roster you have today is not a life sentence. We can fix it. We can make it better. But on behalf of Ryan, I am Memphis. We'll see you back here real soon. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my cans of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what. Well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds. Tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.